Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines, it's Tuesday, April 16th. As the death toll in the Gaza Strip nears 34,000, Israel's war cabinet meets to discuss how to respond to Iran's weekend assault. A new report by UNICEF highlights the number of children kidnapped in Nigeria, urging for decisive action. And around 50 people are killed after severe weather conditions strike Pakistan. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. As the death toll in the Gaza Strip nears 34,000 as a result of Israeli attacks in the war against Hamas, Israel's war cabinet met on Tuesday to discuss how to respond to Iran's weekend assault. Linda Baldoni reports.
Israel's war cabinet meeting came as world leaders continue to urge Tel Aviv to exercise restraint in a bid to avoid a wider conflict. And with analysts saying the region is entering uncharted territory, where the previous strategic paradigm and rules of engagement no longer apply. As some members of Prime Minister Netanyahu's government are reportedly calling for swift action, Israel has taken the first step of a counteroffensive by launching a diplomatic offensive against Iran, in which it calls for economic sanctions against the Islamic Republic. Foreign Minister Israel Katz said on Tuesday that he has contacted 32 countries, calling on them to impose sanctions against Tehran following its thwarted drone and missile attack on Saturday, in retaliation for Israel's strike on the Iranian consulate in Syria, which killed 13 people, including two top commanders of Iran's Quds force. In the Gaza Strip, meanwhile, Palestinian doctors said they have discovered another mass grave near the besieged Al-Shifa hospital, with at least 10 bodies recovered so far. While the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, said it found massive explosives inside schools after Israeli forces withdrew from Gaza's city of Khan Yunis, making it impossible for humanitarian actors to operate safely. I'm Linda Bordoni.
UNICEF Nigeria is urging decisive action to protect children in Nigeria and ensure they are able to receive a quality education. In the past 10 years, 180 children have been killed as a result of school attacks, while more than 1,680 have been kidnapped. A new report by UNICEF Nigeria also finds that some 60 school staff have been kidnapped and 14 killed, and more than 70 school attacks have occurred. Christopher Wells tells us more.
UNICEF Nigeria's report was issued on the 10th anniversary of the abduction of almost 300 mostly Christian female students in Chibok, Borno State, by the Islamist terror group Boko Haram. The report follows in the wake of another abduction of school children in Kaduna State just last month. While attacks and abductions are sometimes related to ideological or social conflicts, many are perpetrated by criminal gangs with purely economic motives, hoping to exchange hostages for hefty ransoms. The Minimum Standards for Safe Schools in Nigeria monitoring report, July-December 2023, summarizes the results of an assessment conducted to evaluate the implementation of the government's minimum standards in some 10 states in northern Nigeria. According to the report's foreword, Nigeria's achievements in advancing education, including increasing primary school attendance and gender parity, remain threatened by tangible risks to children's safety. The report highlights protracted conflicts in the Northwest, leading to continued attacks on schools and the killing and abduction of children and teachers, as well as tensions related to extreme weather events and natural disasters, which are aggravated by ongoing climate change. As a result, UNICEF Nigeria notes that in 2020, around 11,500 schools were closed due to attacks, while in 2021, more than 1 million children were afraid to go back to school. While Nigeria has taken commendable steps to institutionalize a commitment to school safety, the UNICEF report laments failures to implement that commitment throughout the states evaluated. I therefore call on the government to urgently prioritize further interventions and funding to scale up school safety efforts in every school across the country, writes UNICEF representative in Nigeria, Christian Munduati. She also reiterates her organization's commitment to continuing to support the Federal Ministry of Education, state and local education authorities, communities, and schools to realize safe, inclusive, quality education for every child. I'm Christopher Wells.
April 16th is observed as the International Day Against Child Slavery by the Spanish-based Christian Cultural Movement. The inspiration behind this annual observance is 12-year-old Pakistani Christian slave Iqbal Masih, who was murdered on the 16th of April in 1995 for exposing the country's so-called carpet mafia that thrived on child slaves. Vatican News spoke with Christoph Leiermeyer, lead editor of Allerwelt, the magazine of the Austrian missionary organization Missio. He has conducted several investigations into the appalling conditions in which child slaves are forced to work in the brick industry in Pakistan. And he has also reported on the exploitation of children in the cobalt mines of Kolwezi in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In the interview with Christine Suis, Mr. Leiermeyer spoke about the church's efforts and initiatives to free children from slavery, some 160 million across the world. And he explained what consumers and governments in Western countries should do to fight the scourge.
The first point is awareness. As customers have to be aware that child labor is taking place. And according to the latest numbers, it's about 160 million child laborers currently all over the world. And we have to be aware of this. And also we have to question our buying practices, I would say. Like when we buy a T-shirt for €3, we might have second thoughts where this is coming from. As you said, like it's not that easy as customer to be able to know exactly that the line products are taking. So the second point would be also to assist and support organizations, Christian organizations all over the world who are active in finding solutions to get kids out of such labor. For example, like as I mentioned, the Good Shepherd Sisters in Congo, Caritas in many places. Also our own institution, Missy Austria, has many projects where we try to remedy this effects of child labor. So to support such organizations who take active steps against child labor is a good idea. And on the other hand, there are political steps that have already been taken to be more aware of the sourcing, like so that producers really have to find out all the steps on the line to prevent child labor. But this is not an easy case. This is difficult. The better idea is really to support institutions who are actively doing work on the ground.
That was Christoph Leiermeyer, lead editor of Allerwelt, the magazine of the Austrian missionary organization Missio. Meanwhile, in Kazakhstan, more than 2,000 houses were flooded in the northernmost region of the country as of Tuesdays, according to authorities, while across the border in Russia, Kurgan and Tyumen provinces were also evacuating thousands of people due to the deluge. Water levels in rivers in swathes of Russia's Ural and southwestern Siberian regions, as well as adjacent areas of Kazakhstan, were still rising rapidly. In Pakistan, meanwhile, heavy rains and lightning have killed around 50 people over the past 3 days. As Devin Watkins reports, much of the destruction took place in the eastern Punjab province.
Flash floods have been reported across Pakistan in recent days. Lightning and heavy rains reportedly killed at least 49 people in various parts of the country in just the past 3 days. Authorities in the southwest have declared a state of emergency. Several people died when lightning struck farmers harvesting wheat, while rains caused dozens of houses to collapse in the northwest and eastern Punjab province. A spokesman for the Provincial Disaster Management Authority said 21 people had died in Punjab, where more rains were expected later this week. Another 21 people died in the northwestern Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province bordering Afghanistan. Rain also lashed the capital Islamabad and killed 7 people in the southwestern Baluchistan province. Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif said in televised remarks that he had ordered authorities to provide relief aid, noting that Pakistan's water reservoirs would improve because of the rains. Environmental experts say such heavy rainfall in April is unusual, noting that just a couple of years ago, the month was marked by a heat wave. In 2022, downpours swelled rivers and inundated one-third of Pakistan, killing nearly 2,000 people. The floods also caused $30 billion in damage. Meanwhile, in neighboring Afghanistan, heavy flooding has killed at least 33 people and injured 27 others. More than 600 houses have been destroyed and vast tracts of land were damaged. Afghan authorities say they have provided aid to nearly 23,000 families. I'm Devin Watkins.
And finally, 1 year since the outbreak of conflict in Sudan, the European Union co-hosted on Monday with France and Germany the International Humanitarian Conference for Sudan and neighbouring countries. The conference aimed to boost support for people affected by what has become one of the worst humanitarian crises and the largest displacement crisis in the world. Thaddeus Jones reports.
The European Commission assured its commitment of 355 million euros in both humanitarian and development funding for Sudan and its neighbors. Together with the pledge from EU states of 541 million euros, total EU support to Sudan pledged at the conference amounts to close to 900 million euros. The European Commission's funding will be channeled via humanitarian organizations to the most vulnerable in need, suffering from consequences of the conflict in Sudan itself, but also those who've sought refuge in neighboring countries. EU aid will provide communities with health and nutritional care, food assistance, water and sanitation, shelter, protection, and education to the most vulnerable households, both internally displaced, refugee families, and host communities. The press conference in Paris on April 15th, led by organizers France, Germany, and the European Union, emphasized this urgent need to end the war in Sudan, guaranteeing full, safe, and unhindered humanitarian access. Reacting to the EU's pledge, CAFOD, the official aid agency of the Catholic Church in England and Wales, said it welcomes the pledges made by various countries to support relief efforts in Sudan and its neighboring countries, but it expressed worry the amounts fall far short of the $2.7 billion urgently needed to address the scale of the crisis. CAFOD adds that donors must now honor their commitments and disperse pledges as quickly as possible so that, together, swift and decisive action can prevent further suffering and loss of life in Sudan. CAFOD has underscored the need to increase life-saving food aid and offer cash and vouchers at areas where markets are working. And worryingly, while food is available in some local markets, many Sudanese can't afford to purchase it, and humanitarian aid trucks face access constraints preventing them from reaching communities in need. Reports of starvation are already emerging, CAFOD warns, with food security watchdogs warning the risk of famine is imminent. CAFOD has been working in Sudan since the 1970s, supporting livelihood opportunities, particularly smallholder farmers and women. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.